From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. H.R.O. Snyder reports in the Altamont Enterprise that after a routine audit showed missing funds in Rensselaerville's town coffers, police were notified and Stephen Fleshing resigned as supervisor. Trooper Kara M. Burns, the public information officer for Troop G of the state police, confirmed December 13th that police are investigating possible fraud involving Fleshing in the southern Albany County town. A special December 12th town board meeting passed resolutions removing Fleshing from the town's bank account and credit cards and allowing notification of the town's insurance company. Deputy Supervisor John Dulce also now has access to public records. Fleshing is a Democrat elected last year against David Bowdish, who was put on the Republican ballot against his will and said he would refuse the job if elected. Fleshing would not comment for the article. Dulce spoke at the regular December 13th town board meeting about the issue.
Informed by the outside auditors, Patterson, Koski, Howell, Mucci, that they had uncovered in the course of an audit multiple checks that had been written to the town's payroll account to Steve Fleshing without town authorization. In discussions with me, the auditors, the town board, Mr. Fleshing acknowledged that this had taken place. This is uncomfortable for all of us, for the citizens, that we've been disappointed with our supervisor, but we need to move forward.
And you can read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise. Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that the kerfuffle about the vigilante street painters continues in Hudson. Four Hudson residents were charged October 18th with making graffiti a Class A misdemeanor and with other violations of the city code. They painted a crosswalk on a street because the city's Department of Public Works had not yet painted a crosswalk there, and they deemed the intersection dangerous. This week, the Columbia County District Attorney's Office proposed to dismiss the case in exchange for a sentence of community service with the Department of Public Works. Defense Attorney Susan Tippograph said December 12th, and I quote, "Mandating it to be only with the DPW in this case can only be interpreted as punishment or retribution by the DPW," end quote. Tippograph represents 4th Ward Supervisor and Time and Space Limited co-founder Linda Mussman and Time and Space Limited co-founder Claudia Bruce, two of the four crosswalk vigilantes. Earlier, she said, and I quote, "It seems like how this case is being dealt with seems different than what the general practice is in Hudson City Court," end quote. That made Rob Perry, the head of Hudson's Department of Public Works, angry. Perry said, and I quote, "I doubt Attorney Tippograph's statement, as quoted in the Register Star, really seems like retribution. They had no problem playing the DPW worker in the first place. Now they are opposed to actual DPW work," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Eric Anderson reports for the Albany Times Union that Allegiant Air's first flight landed at Albany International Airport December 10th. The low-fare carrier began year-round nonstop flights to Fort Myers, Orlando, and Tampa this week. Albany's airport has recently added flights from Frontier, Elite Airways, and OneJet in recent months. In November, the Airport Authority Board approved contracts for the design of a new 1,000-vehicle parking garage and the sale of airport revenue bonds for up to $25 million to help pay for the project. The garage is scheduled to open in March 2020. Read the full story in the Albany Times Union. Kenneth Levett reports in the New York Daily News that New York's Attorney General Barbara Underwood filed a lawsuit December 13th in Albany State Supreme Court against Walmart, Target, and toy importer LaRose Industries, saying they sold an item for children that contained dangerous amounts of lead. Testing showed that Crazy Jewels jewelry-making kits contained parts with lead levels up to 10 times higher than federal law allows for children's products. Two stores sold the products in 2015 and 2016. While the importing company quickly changed its business practices once the investigation began, Target and Walmart have refused, the lawsuit says, and I quote, take affirmative measures sufficient to ensure that they do not again import, distribute, and sell other toys that place New York children at risk of adverse health consequences from lead exposure. Walmart and Target both had a representative make a very vague statement about how the companies both have a commitment to safety. Read the full story in the Daily News. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend.